Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got a couple updates on Giga Mexico, some news on Cybertruck, and some software updates, which will straighten out some confusion on some of that, and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla today closing up about 1% to $253.50 to end the week. The Nasdaq today up 0.3%. So a pretty nice day for Tesla today to close it out. All right, we did have a couple of analyst updates, which we'll touch on briefly at the beginning here. First, from Guggenheim, they raised their price target on Tesla meekly from $125 up to $132 per share, of course still maintaining their sell rating, most of the note focusing on their expectations for next year, which they see deliveries coming in somewhere around 2 to 2.1 million units, and they expect continued gross margin pressure from Tesla next year as they try to increase that capacity to that level. So, you know, expectation there for tougher business, which of course reflected in the price target that they've got there. And then we also saw an update from Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley. Again, a little bit more of a blog-based type of update here, as we've seen a couple notes from him this week, this one focusing on Optimus. We can skip most of it, but one interesting detail that he did include in here says that according to our sources, Tesla CEO Elon Musk has been increasingly focused on Optimus in recent months. Tesla first unveiled its humanoid robot Optimus on September 30th, 2022. The bipedal robot included 28 actuators in two categories. One, rotary actuators consisting of harmonic reducers, ball bearings, and sensors for rotating motions such as shoulders and elbows, and two, linear actuators comprising planetary rollers, ball bearings, and sensors for linear motions like human muscles, 12 actuators for two hands. Many more details have been kept inside the company. So kind of interesting to hear some of those specific details and just their point here about, according to their sources, more focus on Optimus, which isn't too surprising. And then they do say, according to Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Optimus will start sales within 3 to 5 years. I think that is just a previous comment from Elon that they are noting there, which of course, just a rough estimate from Elon. So of course, very exciting on the Optimus front, but Jonas also sharing some of that excitement in his analyst update today. All right, getting into the updates on Giga Mexico, we've got a report from Bloomberg and other media that Tesla is set to receive $153 million in incentives from Nuevo León to build their factory in Nuevo León. So as a part of these incentives, I think more important than the actual dollar amount here, which is a significant amount of money, but for Tesla, something they could easily fund themselves, it's more about where the money is going, right? So the incentives that are approved by the state's Economic Development Council include the creation of basic infrastructure, such as roads and water treatment, as well as reduction in payroll tax, according to the government statement yesterday. So I think the biggest thing there is the infrastructure piece. Tesla can pour all the money they want into a factory, but if the infrastructure isn't there, can't really go too far. So for them to be able to support this infrastructure build out, whether it's financially or just actually creating the infrastructure, is an important piece. So good to have that detail. We had talked a couple of months ago about reports that Tesla was looking for some of that assistance with infrastructure. So for this to be a little bit more formalized now, I think is a good step forward for Giga Mexico. Of course, as we have talked about, we're still going to have to wait potentially some period of time before Tesla is really ready to go with Giga Mexico. Bloomberg separately had another report today talking about how days earlier, the federal environmental regulator, granted Tesla a land use permit. So we talked about that. They do note that Tesla is going to require several more local and federal permits. So Samuel Garcia, the governor of Nuevo León, said that Tesla is basically cleared and ready to build after that permit came out. But they are noting here that there will be further requirements. Just to clarify on this, though, that doesn't necessarily mean that Tesla can't get started on some things. I think that's what the land use permit sort of dictates. But of course, as they build out the factory further, there will obviously be other permits that are needed along the way. So I think that's more what Bloomberg is highlighting here. In general, this article was just more about the process of the factory and some of how it's come to be a little bit delayed from initial expectations and things like that. But saw some mention of that today, so wanted to share my thoughts on that piece. And then finally, another update here from Millennio. They are reporting that Samuel Garcia said that Tesla would be building the Cybertruck in Giga Mexico. This was from an Instagram post. He said, "We are now going to approve the final amount for Tesla's Gigafactory, where they are going to build the economic car and the Cybertruck." This Instagram post has since been deleted. It doesn't make a lot of sense for Tesla to be building the Cybertruck given that it is so close to Giga Texas, where Tesla's building that production facility for the Cybertruck. So I would be very surprised if that did end up happening. The only reason I could see would be for exports, and maybe there's better trade agreements basing that out of Mexico. But since the Cybertruck is probably a predominantly U.S. product, at least for quite some time, that seems pretty unlikely and could be one of the reasons that the post was deleted. So not putting too much weight in that at this moment. Speaking of the Cybertruck, though, we've got more updates from Joe Tegmeyer and his drone flyovers at Giga Texas. We get some nice photos here of the most Cybertrucks that I believe have been seen at Giga Texas. Joe saying he saw about 50 different Cybertrucks on site today. So really awesome to see just hopefully another sign of continued ramp progress. They snuck a Model Y in there for some reason as well. But nice to see all these Cybertrucks out there at Giga Texas, including this one, which kind of a sad state for a Cybertruck here, but one that seems to be being scrapped or in the process of being scrapped, alongside of others that, of course, also seem to have the Monroney sticker and be ready to go. So not sure what happened with that vehicle, probably just a test vehicle of some sort, but nevertheless, kind of an interesting sight to see a Cybertruck in that state. Also on the Cybertruck today, Tesla's been sending out order holders some information, an email on the PowerShare home backup saying that their order, as we had talked about before, would be eligible for free PowerShare home backup hardware. And this is new information, an installation allowance of up to $4,000. So this $4,000 installation allowance, I believe what I'm reading is that this is only for the Tri-Motor Cyberbeast order holders and not for the all-wheel drive Foundation Series holders. So one extra perk there for the, you know, full spec Cyberbeast version would be this installation allowance. Now, if you already have a Powerwall, you already have a universal wall connector, a gateway, you're not going to need any of these additional things. But for those that aren't fully set up to be able to take advantage of that, it looks like Tesla will be assisting with that for part of the Foundation Series here. I don't expect this to be something that continues past the Foundation Series, but a nice little perk for those that are getting those initial orders, of course, carried alongside the higher price point. So good to see that. And then I did see a couple days ago, we didn't really talk about it, but I feel like there's been a little bit of confusion on it. Tesla has, as a part of the order process, added a $1,000 sort of order fee that goes towards the payment of the vehicle. So it's really just to try to confirm that these orders that are being converted are serious orders. So just wanted to kind of clarify that. I think it completely makes sense and again goes towards the order, so it should be inconsequential for those order holders. All right, moving on, we do have a couple of software updates here, so it's been kind of confusing sorting this out. These software updates have just started to roll out late this afternoon. So TeslaScope here saying they noticed software update 2023.44.30.1. This is the holiday update. So this includes all the features that we have talked about a couple of times over the last week or so, including for some vehicles right now, the new parking visualizations. TeslaScope is saying after TeslaScope is saying that the parking visualizations, which again would be included in this, are only going to vehicles right now that do not have ultrasonic sensors. So only newer vehicles that were produced past the point of Tesla removing that are currently getting the parking visualization update as a part of this release. But I would imagine that over time, this is something that changes. Right now, Tesla may be feeling like ultrasonics are better or just slightly different in terms of how the software is structured and need a little bit more time to get that up and running or integrated with ultrasonic sensors. But for now, that seems to be the case. So it'll be interesting to see people's early reactions to the new visualizations. Obviously, one of the features that is most exciting with the holiday update. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And then separately, 2023.44.30.1. Let's see here. So this is 2023.44, I think, .1. A little bit of confusion on the version numbers here, but for FSD beta vehicles that are sort of in the initial wave of FSD beta rollout, they're starting to get FSD beta 11.4.9. I know we've got a lot of numbers here, so again, pardon some of my confusion, but this is a new version of FSD beta separate from the holiday update that is essentially all the release notes are the same as the previous version of FSD beta. The only one that is added here is the introduction of automatic emergency braking on general obstacles detected by occupancy network. From my understanding, I think this is the only new bullet point versus these previous bullet points were included in the last version. So we see Tesla do that pretty frequently. Doesn't mean that that's actually the only update. Sometimes there are some changes you know, beneath the hood that they don't disclose in the release notes. But nevertheless, a new version of FSD beta today as well. We've also got an update on NACS. So we've talked before about how the SAE is working to standardize NACS in America for basically the charging standard. And Electrek has spoken with one of their members on their task force working on this project of standardization and said that this is going to be announced on Tuesday next week, that the standardization process has been complete. So that's a pretty big deal. That means, you know, other companies are going to be able to start working with NACS now that it would be standardized, and potentially, you know, integrate those things into their processes, and hopefully good news for just adoption of NACS in general. And has happened pretty quickly. We talked about them working to standardize this just a few months ago. So exciting to see that for NACS as well. And then the last couple of things here. Earlier this week, the Financial Accounting Standards Board came out with new guidance on how to account for Bitcoin holdings for publicly traded companies. So as we've talked about many times over the years, how it works right now is that you've got your initial cost basis, the price that you purchase Bitcoin for. If Bitcoin ever falls below that, at any point in time, in any quarter, you have to mark an impairment to the lowest price that it traded at during that period. That then becomes your carrying value for Bitcoin. If it ever falls below that again, you have to mark another impairment. If it goes up, nothing happens. You're just sort of holding it on the balance sheet at that lower level, the lowest level it's ever traded at since you bought it, essentially. That's how it works right now. A lot of companies have had problems with that, particularly MicroStrategy, as they have a massive Bitcoin holding. The new regulation here will allow companies and require companies beginning next year, but in the interim period, allow them to start reporting it on a fair market value basis. And what that means is that quarter to quarter, it would just be marked at the fair market value, which is reported currently, but not actually reflected in the income statement. So as we move forward, this will allow companies to then reflect that fair market value as, you know, as it fluctuates quarter to quarter. So it'll give a better indication of, you know, the actual value of the Bitcoin holdings for companies. It means that that impairment sort of goes away as a process. However, with that, although you now see some of the upside reflected if Bitcoin does increase through the reflection of the increased fair market value, if it decreases then in the subsequent quarter, now you've got to mark that down too. So previously, you'd only show a negative update from Bitcoin, let's say, if it fell below its previous all-time low for the period that you held it for. Now, if it falls below where you had it in the last quarter, you've got to mark it down. So some good, some bad. For Tesla, I actually think it's more of a negative. Tesla's Bitcoin holdings aren't super, you know, huge relative to their total balance sheet. So the fair market value of it isn't super consequential. But now we've got to deal with that fluctuation of that quarter to quarter. So it'll be more relevant in, you know, the forecasting and things like that and the results that we see. And we'll just kind of have to pull that out each quarter. That's my understanding of how it works. We'll see if that is accurate. Try to learn a little bit more about it. And then lastly for today, just a quick look at the calendar for next week. We do have PCE on Friday. Prior to that, the GDP, the final GDP report for Q3 will come out. So again, there's two preliminary estimates. This is the final one, so shouldn't be any, probably no huge surprises there. And then PCE, of course, on Friday. And then heading into next week, the next week after next, the following week after next week, of course, we head into the holidays with Christmas on Monday, and the NASDAQ will be closed that day as well. So that'll wrap it up for today and for the week. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you on Monday for the December 18th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.